Yes, so Perek Lamed Gimel, and it's in Chumash Shemais. Okay, so as we were saying last time, these are very not simple psukim, actually very challenging psukim, both to understand the intention of what's happening, like the content, so to speak, as well as to understand the flow of the psukim, as well as the content. The content is extremely deep, to the point that it says, interesting thing, Reb Shamshon Fuller Hirsch says that these psukim, especially these last few psukim in this chapter, are, in a sense, the psukim that people have to read the most carefully in the Chumash to understand what they mean and not to misunderstand them, so to speak. They deal with the farthest limit of man's knowledge, he says. Beyond these limits, he is neither capable nor permitted to go. So we have to obviously do it as carefully as we can and share as much insight as we possibly can. So let's see. We'll see what we can explore today. So just like I say, what I'd like to do, I always say I try, but I hope I really will, is in a way it would be nice to see the psukim as a unit first, and then to go into them, because then at least we'll have a little bit of an idea, and some of the ideas jump, sort of give us a general, some of the ideas is easier to understand when we have read all of the psukim. So we'll see quickly. So Pasuk Yud Gimel, Va'ata. So now Moshe Rabbeinu is sort of seizing on the moment when Hashem is talking to him and telling him he should move his tent back and he shouldn't be so distant from the Jewish people. Sounds like there is a compassion. Hashem is starting to forgive the Jewish people. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Va'ata im namatzasi chen be'inecha, if I have indeed found favor in your eyes, we discussed this at length last time. Let me know, let me understand your ways. So I will know you. So I should find favor in your eyes. And you should know, consider that this nation is your people, as Moshe Rabbeinu says. Please keep the Jewish people as your nation. And show me, guide me, the depths of your way, so I can be a true and proper leader and know how to lead them." Some of the commentaries say Moshe Rabbeinu was very puzzled what his biggest concern as leader was. He didn't know how to tread the fine line between the compassion and the judgment. And he said, you know, Hashem, you've just displayed such severe judgment against the Jewish people who sinned, and yet you're starting to show your deep compassion. Teach me how to have both. Teach me how to combine these two opposite perspectives and these two opposite forces in leading the Jewish people. And then we go on and you say, "Vayomer panai yelechu v'hanichosi lach." So he said, "My presence will go and I will give you rest." Obviously, this is Hashem responding to Moshe Rabbeinu that I will go before you as opposed to sending somebody else, and I will give you rest. In other words, you can be relaxed. I will be there with you. And then Moshe Rabbeinu, it's interesting because Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Vayomer elav, im ein panecha holchim al ta'aleini mizeh. If your presence does not go with us, do not take us up from here." But Hashem just said, "My presence is going with you." So what's Moshe saying here? So according to some of the Mefarshim, we can understand this dialogue. It's like somebody who asks for something. If you ask a person that you really respect for something, and they say, "Yes, I'll give it to you," and you say to them, "Oh, like, phew, it's good that you're going to give it to me, because if you wouldn't, I wouldn't manage." And here's like that kind of a response. If your presence doesn't go with us, don't take us up from here. Showing Hashem how needed his presence is. And also just one small thing again, panai yelechu, a beautiful thing I saw. I forgot one of the Mefarshim say that what Hashem is saying is that my face will be on your face. In other words, I will connect to you so deeply, Moshe, that even if my presence isn't so revealed, just the fact that you will be leading them will be as if I am leading them. In other words, they will have such a tremendous feeling of closeness. Okay, so now Moshe Rabbeinu continues, and he says like this, "Ubame yivada, and for how will I know that I have found favor in your eyes, aniv amecha, I and your people, halay belechtecha imanu, isn't the best way if you walk before us. Viniflinu," these are very beautiful and famous words, "viniflinu ani va'amcha, then I and your people will be distinguished mikol ha'am, from all the other nations, asher al pnei ha'adama, from the, on the face of the earth. This is interesting because, again, this is a dialogue, and what we're seeing, what we can imagine, I suppose, the easiest way for us to understand it on a simple level is that Moshe Rabbeinu has been asking for Hashem's forgiveness for the Jewish people, but more than just forgiveness, he wants a repair in the relationship. So he wants the closeness of Hashem. And every time that Hashem responds that he will be close, it's like somebody gives you a finger and then you take the hand. You know, Hashem is extending, so Moshe takes the opportunity to almost ask for more. And that's what you see here. So he's like requesting and requesting and requesting. And each request becomes almost more, not chutzpedik, but more daring, if you want to say. And so first he asks Hashem that he should be close to the Jewish people, to lead them, his face, you know, he should be revealed, they should feel his presence, they should be secure, and Hashem says, yes, I will. And now Moshe Rabbeinu says, it's not good enough just that you should show us your face, but what I want is that we should have an exclusive relationship with you. Why? Why does he want an exclusive relationship, so to speak? Exclusive in the sense that there is something unique between the Jewish people and Hashem, which is different to between Hashem and all of the other peoples on the world and on the earth. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, this is something which will assure us and give the Jewish people that sense of closeness to you. It's quite a simple thing. We know that if somebody has a friend you can have a friend and they can be friends of many people. But if they're a very, very good friend, you know that you're amongst a very small number of people. And then if you're a husband and wife, for example, there's only one of you. So here, Moshe Rabbeinu wants that close relationship, which is very exclusive. V'niflinu ani v'yamcha. And one of the big things is that Moshe Rabbeinu says, how will the Jewish people feel secure in their relationship if they know that Hashem is specifically watching out for them? What does that mean? Because this also has to do with the fact that they are about to enter the land of Israel. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, many nations can do battle. Many nations are strong, and they can do battle, and they can win, and they can be successful, and they can conquer, and that's very nice. If we conquer the land of Israel, and it's not obvious that it's done miraculously, it's not obvious that you, Hashem, are the one who are causing us to win, well, then it's very easy and very likely for another nation to come and say, well, let's try again to conquer because they won it naturally, so we can also try. Maybe we'll be more successful. Maybe we'll be stronger than the Jewish people. But if Hashem's presence is revealed, what that will do is, just like Moshe Rabbeinu said by Oz Yashir, you know, when he sang the song of the sea, Moshe Rabbeinu said, because all of the nations saw the great miracles that you did for the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, they all melted. They were afraid of the Jewish people. So that's what Moshe wants. And that's what the word v'niflinu has a double meaning. V'niflinu means that we will be distinguished, which means separate, different, exclusive. But it also comes from the word nifla, do miracles in a revealed way. When you do miracles for us in a revealed way, when you treat us with real open miracles, then other nations are afraid to start up with us. And this gives us that assurance. So then Hashem says like this, Vayemer Hashem al Moshe, and Hashem responds, Gam es hadavar hazeh asher dibarti, asher dibarta e'eseh. Also this that you have spoken, I will do. In other words, I'm going to give you this request as well. And why? Ki matzasa chein be'enai, because you have found favor in my eyes, ve'da'acha b'shem, and I have known you by name. What does this mean, I have known you by name? So let's just see first what Rashi says, and then we'll see. V'gam es hadavar hazeh. So Rashi says, Shaloi, he says, Shalo yushra shchinasi oid al umay sa'ilam. And my shchina will not rest anymore upon other nations of the world. And interesting, Rashi points out something that will happen very soon that sounds like almost Hashem is not being honest. We know the story that happens as the Jewish people go through the desert. There's the famous story where Bilam and Balak, they want to destroy the Jewish people, and Bilam tries to curse the Jewish people. And we know that Bilam receives a kind of prophecy. Those are the blessings, the curses he wanted to give us transformed into blessings, and they were high, a very, very deep prophecy. So the question is, does Hashem rest his presence on the nations of the world, or does he not? And here he says, "V'ein dvarav shel Bilam al yidei shriyas shchina." Don't think that the words of Bilam and the prophecy, so to speak, that Bilam has, it's not the resting of the Shechina, Ela Noifel V'Glui Einayim. Rather, how does he have this prophecy? He has to fall and his eyes would be unveiled. In other words, as we said, very interesting, very, very different to Moshe, but even different to other Jewish prophets, that when Bilam received the prophecy, he was totally out of it. He like sort of totally lost any capacity at all. So it was Hashem, he was like a puppet mamish, totally. And therefore, it's not as if Hashem is really resting his Shechina on him. It's like this, he becomes totally numb, and Hashem speaks, and that's it. That's very different with Moshe. He says, "Kegain ve'elai davar yigunav shoymin al yidei shliach." It's like we say that it's like through a messenger. So even Bilam doesn't hear it from Hashem, and then when he passes it on, it's not as if Bilam is actually, it's Bilam speaking, but it's really Hashem's Shechina not resting on Bilam. It's all passing through, so to speak. Okay, but what did we say over here before? We said that Ve'eda'acha b'shem, what does this mean, I know you by name? So we met a very interesting thing we have with Moshe Rabbeinu, that when Moshe Rabbeinu first met, and this leads on to the next part, very interesting. When the first time that he encountered Hashem, we know, is the famous encounter by the burning bush, by the Sneh. And over there, when Hashem introduces himself, Hashem says to him, you know that I had a relationship with Avraham, with Yitzchak, and with Yaakov, but to them I only revealed my name Kel Shakai. To you I reveal the great name Havaya, which means that the revelation that I reveal myself to you is on a much deeper and a higher level, and I will show you very tremendous miracles. So, and the language there is like a name of Hashem, B'Shem Hashem. So here, Moshe, and when Hashem appeared to Moshe by the snare, we know by the burning bush, Moshe was so hesitant, he was so afraid, he backed off, and he almost didn't want it. He kept on refusing, if you, in a sense, all the prophecy and all the revelation, and he didn't want to become the messenger. And there he was very, very hesitant about, it seems, about the close relationship. Here Hashem points out that, you remember, I know you by name. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu cashes in. He says, you know, Hashem, you promised me that we have a very special relationship. So some of the Mefarshim say it refers to actually the name of Hashem that was special, that Hashem revealed exclusively to Moshe Rabbeinu, and like was the first one to get that special revelation. And also, Ve'eda'acha b'shem can also simply mean that you have a great reputation. In other words, you are really known. So you are very, very special. Once Hashem says that, Moshe responds and says, Vayomer, so Moshe says, Hareini na eskvaidecha, show me now your glory. Now, a very interesting thing. Now, interesting, very different to what happened by the burning bush. By the burning bush, Moshe kept on retreating, and he was hiding, and he was afraid, and he didn't want to take upon himself all this tremendous responsibility, but also, which means that he wouldn't have had the tremendous revelations. And here, he's asking for it. And look what Rashi says. He says, Ra'a Moshe Shehaya Eis Ratzon. Moshe saw, perceived, that it was a time of goodwill, udvarav mekubalim, and all of the things, all the requests that he's making are being received. The haisif lishal, so he adds, he keeps on adding to ask, l'raisai maris kvaidai, that he shows him the appearance of his glory. And according to the Gemara and the way the Midrashim explain this, so we can, in a general way, divide that Moshe Rabbeinu was asking Hashem, in a sense, almost for three general requests. The first one was that Hashem's presence should be revealed to the Jewish people and Hashem himself should lead them. That's what we mentioned. Then that Hashem should not put his presence on the nations of the world. So in other words, there should be this very big contrast between the relationship that Hashem has with the Jewish people and with the other nations. That's the second request. And the third request is this one. This is an interesting request that we're going to have to understand, because this seems like a personal request. And we're going to have to understand how that fits in. But here he's asking to see Hashem's glory. And we'll see what that means. Obviously, he wants to understand Hashem in a very deep way, something which he has not yet been shown. So let's see what he says. And he says, so Hashem, this is Hashem's response. Ani a'avir kol tuvi al panecha. I will let all my goodness pass before you. V'karasi b'shem Hashem, I will proclaim the name of Hashem lifanecha before you. V'chanoisi es asher achain, and I will favor when I wish to favor. V'richamti es asher arachem, and I will have compassion when I wish to have compassion. Let's understand this answer. And before we read Rashi, I want to just see Pasuk Chof. Vayomer, and Hashem is continuing, Lo sucha lirois es panai, you will not be able to see my face. Ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai, because a man can never see my face and live. It sounds that's what Moshe wanted. Moshe was originally requesting to see a very deep, high revelation, which is we would refer to as the face of Hashem, the pnimius of Hashem. But Hashem says, no, that I cannot show you. I'll just quickly read the Pesukim, and we'll come back to the Rashi just to see what will Hashem yes show. So he says, Vayomer Hashem, Hine Mokoin, but, this is interesting. So I will not show you my face, which sounds like Hashem is not giving Moshe this third request. But we'll see that Hashem doesn't give Moshe the third request fully, but he gives it to him partially. And this is what we're going to have to analyze and understand. What does this mean? What is he giving him? What is he not giving him? So he says like this, Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem says, Hine mokaim iti, behold, there is a place with me, v'nitzavta al hatzur, and you shall stand on the rock. And what will happen when you stand on the rock? V'haya ba'avar kvaydi, when my glory, because what did Moshe ask? He asked to see kvaydi. So when my kvaydi, when my glory, v'samticha benik, when my glory passes, v'haya ba'avar kvaydi, right? V'samticha benikra satsur, I will place you in the cleft of the rock. On a simple level means I will protect you. So I will pass my glory, but I will protect you. I'll put you in a position where you won't be harmed. V'sakaisi kapi alecha, and I will cover you with the palm of my hand. Ad avari, until I have passed by. V'hasiraisi es kapi, but... So it sounds like he's not going to be able to see anything. If Hashem's palm is covering Moshe, when Hashem's glory passes, obviously it means that Hashem is not allowing Moshe to have a full revelation. But what does Hashem say? V'hasiraisi es kapi, and I will remove my hand. V'ra'isa es achairai, and you will see my back. Upanai lo yera'u, but my face shall not be seen. So we have to understand what's happening, but just we can see on a simple level, Moshe is asking for a very deep revelation of godliness. Hashem seems to be saying that's impossible, but I will give you something, not the face, but the back. And we have to understand what's happening. So let's see Rashi, and then we'll try to see a little bit more inside some of the Mefarshim to understand the different requests and what's happening here. Okay. Let's see. Okay, so in this one, Vayomer ani aver. So Rashi on Pasuk Yutes. So he says like this, Higi asha, the time has come, shetire b'chvaydi, that you will see some of my glory. Masha Ersha Ais Khaliris, what I will allow you to see. Lafisha ani reitze Vitzarich Lelamdicha Seder Tfila, because I want to and I must teach you the order of prayer. Why? Because when you had to beg for mercy for the Jewish people just now, right? When Moshe had been begging that Hashem shouldn't destroy them, what did you do, Moshe? Hashem says, His kartaliz chus avais. You remembered, you mentioned the chus of the forefathers of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Kisavarata, why did you do that? Because you were sure. She'im tamas chos avais einay tikva, because you use that almost as the last resort. That if it's finished, the chos of the avais, of the chos, the merit of the forefathers, there's no more hope. So Hashem is telling him, I'm going to teach you something more. That there's another thing that's even more powerful that you can use to daven when you need to ask for compassion. And he says, Ani aver kol midas tuvi lefanecha al atzur. So I will therefore let all the attributes of my goodness pass before you while you are on the rock. While you are hidden in the cave. And we'll see, as Rashi will tell us now, this will be the 13 attributes of mercy. V'karasi b'shem Hashem l'fanecha. So he says, Lamdacha seder bakashas rachamim, to teach you the procedure of begging for mercy. Af im tichles chus avais, even if the merit of the avais is depleted, which and what that means is the merit of the avais is never depleted, but even if it seems that the Jewish people have, and if we, this is not just for Moshe, obviously, it's written in the Torah for all of us, even if we feel so distant that we feel we can't evoke this chus of avais, it's not going to work, it's just not going to help us, we're too far. So he says, ubeseder zesha ataraya I see, in this way that you see me, me'utaf, wrapped, and as it, the analogy, the Medrash says it, that it was like Hashem was wrapped in a talis. Vikara yud gimel midais, and you will proclaim the 13 attributes. Haimelamedes Yisrael lases kein, and you should also teach the Jewish people to do the same. Va'al yidei sheyaskiru lefanai rachum v'chanun, and when you will mention before me these words of compassion and grace, right, and all the 13 attributes. You ne'enin ki rachamai laikalim. They will be answered because my compassion never ends. This is, we know, leading up to Rosh Hashanah, and now in the time of Elul, we say that the 13 attributes of mercy are literally shining. They are revealed much more at this time of the year than any other time of the year. And we know that throughout Rosh Hashanah, and especially on Yom Kippur, we say the 13 attributes of mercy over and over and over again. And where did we learn that? From here. It's actually in the next chapter where Hashem tells Moshe more specifically. Here he's starting. And very interesting that when he starts to tell Moshe, he actually tells it to him almost conditionally. And then in the next chapter, in Perek Lamed Dalid, he actually makes it even more. What do I mean? Because here he says, V'chanoisi es asher achein, right? That I will favor when I wish to favor. V'richamti es asher arachein, and I will have compassion, sorry, when I wish to have compassion. So that almost sounds like when I'm in the mood or when I decide to do it, I'll do it. But sometimes I might not. And yet we say that whenever we evoke these 13 attributes of mercy, Hashem does have compassion. So where do we get that from? So it says that first Hashem started slowly. He said, these are very powerful midas, and I will teach them to you. But in the next parak, Hashem makes a bris, a covenant. And he says, every time that you invoke these special words, I will have compassion. So it's actually a gradual promise, which is very, very, very powerful. One of the important things I want to share with you about this thing that it says, V'chanoisi es asher achein. Last week we read in the Gemara, because Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to understand the ways of Hashem. He was trying to understand why people suffer, but that was the big question he wanted to know. Why is it that righteous people suffer and that it seems that wicked people seem to have it so good in this world? And one of the things that Hashem, this is one of the answers actually that it says that Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu. He says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, you'll never understand. My midos, the way I act, the way I conduct myself, the way I engage with the world is in a way which is not understandable to you. V'chanoisi es asher achein. I will favor when I wish to favor, and I will have compassion when I wish to have compassion. And that's an answer to that. In other words, that sometimes it doesn't actually look to us that it makes sense, because sometimes the compassion that Hashem has is not on the righteous people. It could be on somebody that to us it looks like they don't deserve, so to speak. And it could be that when a person seems to, yes, deserve compassion, Hashem doesn't show him compassion. And this is one of the answers that Hashem is giving Moshe, which is, the answer is, that you will not understand. It's beyond your understanding. So that's another fascinating thing that comes from these words. Okay, let's see in Pasuk Chaf what the Rashi tells us. So he says that a person can never see my face, right? So he says, Af. So, but even though nobody can see my face, it sounds like Hashem is still going to pass before Moshe, right? He's going to pass his glory. So what's going to happen? That's why Rashi tells us something interesting. Af kisha'avir kol tuvi al panecha, right? Even when I let all my goodness pass before you, eini noisein lecha reshus lirois es panai, I do not grant you permission to see my face. That's why Hashem puts, so to speak, the palm of his hand, which blocks the vision of Moshe, and only removes it after Hashem passes. And what does Moshe see? The back of Hashem. We're going to discuss it in a minute what that means, but let's just see here Rashi, and what does this place that Hashem puts him into this rock? So he says, Hine makom iti, so Bahar, where is this place? On the mountain. Asher ani medaber imach tomer, on the mountain that I am constantly speaking to you. Yesh makom, there is a place, muchan, like prepared, ready, li, for me, litzarchecha, for your needs. Sha'at mincha sham shalaitazuk, that I can hide you there and you will not come to any harm. In other words, because such a great revelation of godliness, it is so awesome and so great, Moshe Rabbeinu could technically come to harm, which means his neshama could permanently leave his body. But Hashem says, I have a safe spot where it's protected, where you can get a certain measure of revelation and you will not be harmed. Umisham tira mashatira, and from there you will see whatever you will see. And that's the simple explanation. And the Medrash tells us, al makaim shashchina sham medaber, the place that the Shechina is speaking from, v'aymer hamakaim iti, the place is with me, which means I am the place. Let's see how Rashi says, v'ayni aymer ani b'makim. It doesn't say I am in the place and I speak to you from that place. Rather, the place is in me, which means Shehakadosh Baruch Hu mekaymei shel olam. Hashem is the place of the world. The ein al olamai mekaymei, and the world is not his place, which means obviously Hashem is not encompassed by the world. Hashem is not contained by the world. Rather, obviously Hashem contains the world. Hashem is, in a sense, the world. Totally. So again, just clarifying, because as Rashi says, you can never say that, you can never ever limit Hashem and say that Hashem is in the world. You have to be very careful with that. And then Rashi continues and tells us, what does this mean that my glory will pass before you? So I just want to show you, okay, a very interesting thing, v'sachaisi kapi. Why does Hashem have to, so to speak, put his palm and in front of Moshe? So it says, mikan shenosna reshus, shenitna reshus, lemechablim lechabel. From here we understand that power was given to destructive forces to destroy Moshe Rabbeinu. What does that mean? It's very interesting that at this time, when there was such a tremendous revelation of godliness, there has never been before, and there never was afterwards. It was a very, in a sense, almost dangerous time. Because if Hashem reveals himself to such a degree, because of the equality which Hashem creates the world with, the balance, that means that even the forces of evil at that time also have tremendous power. So Hashem has to make a special protection upon Moshe Rabbeinu in order to make sure that no harm comes to him. We find a very interesting thing with this, that sometimes when a person has to realize that sometimes in the greatest moments of inspiration or revelation or heights of joy when we are in, we have to be extra, extra careful. You know, this is one reason perhaps why people have a thing, let's say, on a day of a child's wedding, it's such a tremendous joy, you're bringing your child to the chuppah, so you give extra tzedakah. Or any time, because you want extra protection. Whenever there's an extra show of love of Hashem, you want to make sure that you have extra protection. And here you see that Hashem is giving that to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then, as we said, Hashem said to Moshe, you're not going to see my face, but you're going to see my back. And I just want to show you what Rashi says before we will go into depth to understand more of what these psukim are saying. He says, what did Hashem show Moshe? He showed him a very famous thing, Kesher Shel Tefillin. the back. What did he show as like a back, almost like the back of Hashem's head? Obviously, Hashem doesn't have any parts of the body. This is all a spiritual thing. But here Rashi says he showed him the knot of the tefillin. What is the knot of the tefillin? So I just want to tell you one thing before we come back. We'll go back and see more depth into the other things. But a very magnificent thing that it's explained. What does it mean that he showed him the knot of the tefillin? So we know a very beautiful thing. It says that in our tefillin, we talk about how much we love, you know, how great Hashem is. In Hashem, we say Hashem also does all the mitzvahs. What does it say in Hashem's tefillin? In Hashem's tefillin, it says, Mi ka'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. Hashem talks about how great we are, how much He loves us. Who is like your people, one nation on earth. So when Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I will show you the knot of my tefillin, what that meant for Moshe Rabbeinu was that it assured Moshe that Hashem is still wearing his tefillin, which means that Hashem still feels that we are a special nation that nobody compares to us, and that He still loves us, and that He still praises us so highly. And this was a tremendous, tremendous reassurance for Moshe Rabbeinu, and that we can see in almost in a sense, this was the goal of the whole revelation that Moshe Rabbeinu is asking for, is he wants to be able to see how Hashem relates to the world in order to know how he should relate to the Jewish people, how he could be a true leader, a good leader, model himself on Hashem's behavior, lead the Jewish people properly, and also to teach the Jewish people the ways they should behave, how they can navigate life. And this was really Moshe Rabbeinu's intention. And this is what you can see from here. And also one other beautiful thing just about the tefillin. Again, we will come back afterwards, but I just want to show you something beautiful. It says that he showed him the kesher shel tefillin, the knot. What is the knot like? Why does it say knot? Specify, highlight the word knot of the tefillin. So it explains a very beautiful thing, that tefillin is really worn on the hand and on the head, it says. So the hand tefillin represents the concept that a Jew has to perfect his ways between man and man, at our hands, what we do between man and man. And the head represents that we have to make sure we have a good relationship between us and Hashem. When Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu the knot of the tefillin, what was he saying? He was telling him, I'm going to teach you something very, very important. That if the Jewish people want to relate to me fully, they have to realize that it's not enough that they perfect the head tefillin, but there has to be a knot. A knot means that you connect two different things together, the hand and the head. They have to make sure that they perfect both the relationship that they have with other people and the relationship that they have with me. And that's a very important thing that Hashem is telling Moshe, that you must pass on to the Jewish people. Okay, now. Just to get to there's so much, and I'm not even sure how to start over here because it's so deep. And I do want to today, there's never a conclusion of this. Like I said, this Rav Shaul Shofel Hirsch says these psukim have to be learned with such depth and properly. But I just want to show you a few beautiful ideas that come through with what Moshe Rabbeinu is asking. So we said Moshe Rabbeinu asked for a few requests. The third request is what we're going to discuss more at length here, is he wants to see, it seems, Hashem's glory, Hashem's panim. He wants to understand Hashem's ways. He wants to understand why some people suffer, why people are doing so well in the world, all the deep philosophical questions, how Hashem relates to the world. The Mefarshim say that really what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted, he wanted actually to know the essence of God. He wanted to have the greatest revelation that he could possibly have, the essence of godliness. And when Hashem says, I will not show you my glory, what he's saying to him is, the essence of godliness, that's beyond the reach of all men, even you, the greatest of man. Because if I reveal, first of all, I cannot reveal my essence. That's not possible. I cannot possibly, because that's just the opposite of what a created world is. But if I would even reveal anything close to that, your neshama would leave your body permanently. It would be gone. You would expire. You would totally disappear from the great revelation. The only thing that I could show you is a little bit on how I operate, some of my midas. And that's what we'll see. We'll see next week when we discuss the 13 attributes of mercy. That's what Hashem says to Moshe. I will show you a little bit of how I relate to the world, which means a much more diluted level of godliness. A much more diluted in a sense. So it's diluted, but it's also more how Hashem relates to us. And that's a very important thing that we get from here, that that's the only thing that's possible for a human being to ever have any exposure to. I just want to see, just to make sure, there's a few things before we go into understanding it a little more in depth. Okay, yeah, we mentioned the miracle. Just want to see. Just to make sure. Okay. Yeah, as we said that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to know how Hashem's justice works, and as Hashem, according to some opinions, Hashem was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's impossible for a human being to ever really understand my ways, which means not only my essence, but even my ways, why sometimes I'm show favor to one person and not to another. That's impossible for a human being to ever know. But other commentaries, as we saw in the Gemara, seem to say that a little bit we can understand, because there are certain things that we can understand about it. If a person is perfectly good, if a person is less than perfectly good. So there are certain parts of Hashem's operation, so to speak, that we can have a little bit of a glimpse into, but definitely never the essence of Hashem. Just want to see. Okay. Oh, now I want to read you something very beautiful here, just to show. Okay, so here. And also when we read, Hine Makayim Iti, behold, there is a place near me. So I want to just show you something beautiful that Reb Shamshon Fel Hirsch says. I'll read you very, very magnificent. He says like this, that these words of Hashem, that Hashem says, the place near me, and you know, I'm going to let you in a little bit. So these divine words indicate the summit of our knowledge as well as the limits assigned to it. They bring out that the highest level of knowledge which a human being can attain is not at all the contemplation of Hashem, but rather the contemplation of man and all of human condition from Hashem's point of view. And this is a very beautiful thing. It says that the truth is there is but one place from which man, be he the greatest of prophets, can have access to the discovery of the truth. That is the place where someone close to Hashem may perceive the total picture of human life. And this was Hashem's gift to Moshe as a result of his request. It is from this divine height, says Hashem to Moshe, that you will look down upon the earth, and this unique vision will enable you to understand and appreciate human existence as well as the nature of divine acts. To contemplate life on earth from this panoramic vantage point is to put oneself on a firm footing. It is as if to stand on a rock. And that's why he mentioned that Hashem said, he put you in a rock. You may stand on the rock, which means, and this is something that a lot of the Mefarshim discuss over here, that what Moshe Rabbeinu is asking for is impossible for us to know. Why? Because we have such limited vision. And I want to see it inside. There's a very beautiful mashal, if I remember who gave it, that was given, I think, by the Rambam, actually, himself, a beautiful mashal about how there were people on a boat, and they want to know about the boat, but they're sitting in the boat itself. So what could they do? How can they understand the boat? So the Kuzari says a very beautiful thing. The only way they can understand the boat is actually by understanding what the boat doesn't have. So they understand that the boat is not on land. They understand that the boat has limitations. They understand that the boat is made of wood. They understand that the boat is not made of something else. So when you're on the boat, you cannot see the outside of the boat. You can only have a very, very short-sighted, narrow vision of what you're experiencing. Another way to understand this, we say always, is that, like you said over here, we don't have the panoramic view. We only have the limited view of us people with our limited, because we are limited both in space as well as in time. So Hashem says, how can you possibly understand my ways when you are just a physical person, limited within space, limited within time? And of course, you'll never get it. And that's why you can only understand my back. What does that mean, understanding my back? And it's such a beautiful thing the Chassam Sofer says. The Chassam Sofer says, understanding the back of Hashem means we can only understand, and even then we get such a limited view, Hashem from things that that take place before. In other words, when we look back. Most of the time when we're in it, and when we look forward, we have no idea. That we've been learned very well this year. Forward, we have no clue. All of us last year, when it came to Elul and Tishrei, we had no idea what this year would bring, and we would never have imagined it. But it brought it. But now we look back. And even with our looking back, we are limited. But we are a little bit more open when we look back. And that's what Hashem is saying, that my face you will never see. But if you start to contemplate a little bit back, which is an important thing, in other words, learn the lessons from what you have already experienced and take that with you, that is a way that you will, yes, be able, that will enable you to come closer, much, much closer to Hashem. I just want to see, there was a very, see something here, a beautiful one. Okay, so just now, just because I want to do two more in depth, and I know I'm missing a lot of beautiful ones, but just two more concepts in depth over here with this whole thing. So from the Nesiv HaShalom, he also explains like generally what Moshe Rabbeinu is asking and why he's asking here. So he says, he explains it almost in two slightly different ways, two angles. He says like this, that what was Moshe Rabbeinu's question? Why is he asking all of a sudden here to get this depth of knowledge and understand Hashem's essence, so to speak? And it seems at the beginning he was almost shy of it. So what is he asking? So he says like this, Moshe Rabbeinu, where does it fit into the whole context of what's happening? So the Nesiv HaShalom says that when the Jewish people sinned with the golden calf, and we know, we mentioned a few times, that it was a little bit engineered by Hashem, the sin. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to know, what purpose does the sin do? What does it accomplish? We know that when you revealed yourself at Har Sinai, I mean, that was amazing. That we all understand the accomplishment. That was a revelation of godliness in the world. And that made the world feel Hashem close. But what possible benefit and what possible, connection and closeness to Hashem comes through the sin of the golden calf? So obviously we know that, we've mentioned it a few times, that the concept of tshuva comes through. But what Moshe Rabbeinu is asking here is to understand something deeper, and Hashem shows him, and this is so magnificent. Hashem says like this, that there's two kinds of tshuva that a person can do. There's tshuva that we call miyira, tshuva out of fear, which means we're afraid either of the punishment or even on a higher level of the distance from Hashem. But then there's a much greater tshuva, which is tshuva me'av, a tshuva out of love. So he says, like a mushal, he gives an analogy. Imagine if a father gives a child a beautiful new outfit of clothing, and they're taking a journey. And the father says to the child, you know, on our journey, there will be times when the weather won't be good, and therefore the place will become muddy. So you have to be extremely careful when you're walking through the mud that you don't ruin your clothing. Well, lo and behold, the child's running ahead of the father, and there's a beautiful big puddle, and it's very enticing, and he jumps into the puddle, and he soils the whole new clothing. Well, when the child realizes what he has done, and the father is not far behind him, he turns around to his father. And there's two types of children, the Nesiv HaShalom says. One child, who's a little bit silly, but that's one kind of a child, he sees his father coming, and he's filled with fear now. And he's just filled with fear because he realizes that he has just gone against his father, and his father's going to be very upset with him. So he starts to cry and to cry and to cry and to beg his father, please don't be angry with me, please don't be angry with me. And that's all he cares about, just that his father shouldn't be angry with him. But then there's another kind of child. So for that child, the father sees the crying and sees maybe the child's sincere, so he says, okay, I won't be so angry with you. But then there's another kind of child. This child is not just worried about the fact that this father is going to be angry, but he's also devastated, and he realizes that he's just lost such an opportunity of closeness to his father. Not only that, but he's just lost such an opportunity of having these beautiful clothing that his father has given him, because he's just ruined them. So what does this child do? This child cries and says, I'm so sorry, I went against what you said. But then, when he sees his father starting to get appeased, he doesn't stop crying. He says, oh, please, 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 will you get me new clothing? And until the father says, yeah, I'll get you new clothing, he doesn't stop crying. And then when he sees that his father is being appeased and his father loves him so much, he seizes the opportunity and he continues to cry. And he says, oh, so first he says, not new clothing. He says, will you wash my clothing? Father says, yeah, I'll wash your clothing. He says, not enough. Will you get me new clothing? The father says, yes, I'll get you new clothing. You know what, Tati? I really want to know that you really, really, really love me and that you're really, really, really not angry at me. Will you give me some presents as well? And the father says, yes, I'll give you some presents as well. And then he keeps on asking for more and more. Why? Why does he ask for more and more, this child? Because this is a very clever child. And he realizes that now he has evoked his father's compassion. He's gone into a level of his father where his father is showing his tremendous love. And his father has to, so to speak, bring up to himself a very great level of love. So he cashes in on it. This is the second higher level of tshuva. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're going to walk in front of the Jewish people? Oh, great, great. Now you're going to be exclusive to the Jewish people? Great. Oh, now I want to see your glory also. He keeps on asking more and more and more because he seizes the incredible opportunity. But what does that show? It shows Hashem something very powerful. It shows Hashem that what does Moshe want? And Moshe is acting on behalf of the Jewish people. He wants a very deep relationship with Hashem. Because as we know, when you love somebody, you want to know them. The way you show somebody that you really love them is by wanting to know all about them. If it's just face value, you know, if you're just on the face showing as if like superficial kind of connection, well, then you just have a conversation, you'll just fill their needs and you're happy with that. But when you truly love somebody, you really want to know everything about them. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu is showing to Hashem. I want to know everything about you because I want to be as close as I can to you. And this is a tremendous thing. And that's what, when he says, oh, maybe that's the purpose, if you want to say in a sense, this is the glory that comes through the golden calf, that if we do a really high level of tshuva, it will not just be that we say our sins become forgiven, but much more. Our sins are transformed to mitzvahs, which means we get an even higher revelation. And then the Nisiv HaShalem says, and you can look at it even deeper. He says also another aspect. He says, what happened over here, that there was something terrible that was happening, as he saw, because it was, as we mentioned, these psukim are very strange psukim in a sense. They come in the middle, where Hashem hasn't totally forgiven the Jewish people. So it's a little bit of a time of hiddenness. It's a time where Hashem is not totally revealed yet, right? It's not the time of the Mishkan yet. Hashem hasn't re-revealed himself. It's not the time of Har Sinai. So it's that in-between time when Hashem is slowly forgiving the Jewish people. So there's still a tremendous part of Hashem which is hidden. And Moshe Rabbeinu is actually here, has a very interesting request, which the Nisiv HaShalom says really relates to us in our time. Moshe Rabbeinu looks to the future and he says, I see that there will be many, many times when there will be where there will be a hiddenness, where Hashem will seem inaccessible, like now, in the time of Golus, in the time of exile, where Hashem seems quite distant in a way, quite far from us. So what happens? The Nisiv HaShalom says, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, is it possible for us to have a relationship with you even in that time? Can you show me how? And really, Moshe asks Hashem something more. Moshe says, maybe you can actually make it that there should never be any more times of hiddenness. Maybe, please, can it be possible that you should always be open and revealed to us? And that Hashem doesn't give Moshe. You remember, he says, I will show you my back and not my face. What Hashem says to Moshe, that you can always have a relationship. You should always remember, even when I'm hidden. Not only that, but maybe the purpose is, and I'll just read you a few beautiful lines. The Nisiv HaShalom says that in a sense that we know the word Olam, world, that Hashem created, comes from the language of Helem, hiddenness. Hashem says the whole purpose is, and we don't know why, and this is what Moshe Rabbeinu is asking, to know the ways of Hashem and why. This is what Hashem wants. And Hashem says, I will not tell you why. It's not something you can understand. But for some reason, Hashem wants us to search for him more when he is hidden. In other words, he wants to be hidden, and that we should find him. We should reveal him in that hiddenness. And that's the purpose, in a sense. That's what our journey is all about. And he says, "V'zeha yahagiloi shel v'reisa asachay," right? This is what Hashem revealed when he says, "I reveal my back, upanai lo yiro, my face you will not see." Shetachlis habriyahi, what's the whole purpose of creation? V'reisa asachay, right? To see my back. L'shaber es kol hamatzovim, to break all the conditions, all the situations, shel dinim, v'klipais, all the challenges, all the negativity, which is the b'china asachay, right? The back. Ulahagia la Hashem Yizbarech, and to reach Hashem mitaycha helem vahester, in the hiddenness, in the part where Hashem is not revealed. Ze tafkidai shel Yehudi ba'ilamai. This is the purpose of the Jew in this world, and this is the lesson for all of us. And that's what one of the big things in the Sefer Shalom says. That's why these psukim are very powerful and very important and very, very eternal for us forever. Okay, so now, just to come back, I just want to give context again. I know we did this last time, a drop, but I didn't do it justice. I want to show you something. How, I know I missed a tremendous amount, but time is so limited. How Rabbi Sacks, as I explained, the whole context of this chapter, because this also gives a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful insight to understand. So he says like this, Rabbi Sacks starts, and he has a very beautiful thing. He says that this perek, as we said, perek lamed gimel, is not understood, as we mentioned. It doesn't even make sense, doesn't even fit in. Because in perek lamed beis, Moshe Rabbeinu is asking for forgiveness, not only forgiveness, but describing the sin and all the terrible things that happened. In perek lamed Dalid, that's where Hashem reveals the 13 attributes of mercy, and we see Hashem's forgiveness. This chapter seems to come in middle of nowhere, where Moshe Rabbeinu is asking almost personal requests, because he's asking to see a revelation of godliness that the Jewish people will definitely not see. Sorry, one of the things I forgot to say, interesting thing, it says, v'niflinu, that there should be an exclusive relationship. So some of the Mepharshim saying what Moshe was asking for was not only that Hashem should have an exclusive relationship with the Jewish people and that there should be a separation between the Jewish people and the rest of the world, but he should be different. That Hashem should reveal himself to Moshe in an exclusive way because he's the leader, right? So he should know how to deal with the Jewish people. So that's also v'niflinu, v'niflinu meaning that Moshe wants to have a special revelation. So where does that come in, like this personal request almost in the middle of the Jewish people, of Hashem being angry with the Jewish people? How does this fit into the whole thing? Okay, so now we start, he explains like this. He says, very, very beautiful. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu over here was asking for something which, in a sense, as we said before, was the most daring tefillah, the most daring request. And it was because it was such a daring, almost chutzpahdik request, the Torah says it in a way hiddenly. Like you have to read into the psukim to understand what Moshe is asking. So what's happening? So he says, what happened was that in the previous perek, in perek lamed beis, we saw that when the Jewish people did the aveira of the goal of the chet ha'egel, what was one of the prime reasons was because they felt that Hashem wasn't there, right? They felt the lack of Hashem, and even more, they felt the lack of Moshe, right? That's what we said. Where's Moshe? He's gone. He's disappeared. So that's why, because they felt Moshe was gone, they felt very lost, and therefore they actually sinned. So now he says, so Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, listen. And then afterwards, Hashem says to Moshe, move your tent back. Remember when Moshe Rabbeinu moved his tent away? Hashem says, move your tent back. The Jewish people need you. So here Moshe Rabbeinu is now saying, as a response to that, Hashem, the Jewish people don't need me. You know who they need? They need you. And it's a very beautiful language. He says, the need is not for me to be close to them. I'm just a human being, here today, gone tomorrow. But you are eternal. You're Hashem. They need you to be close to them. So Moshe is saying to Hashem, until now they've experienced you as a terrifying force, you know, doing all the plagues and everything, and, you know, destroying Mitzrayim and splitting the sea, and Har Sinai, they heard your voice and they were so afraid. Now Moshe Rabbeinu says what they need is to experience not the greatness of Hashem, but the closeness of Hashem. They need to feel that you are close to them. So that's why, he said, that's what motivated Moshe to move his own tent out, because what did he want is, he wanted to understand, in a sense, first of all, the language he uses is very beautiful. He says, is it possible for Hashem to be close to where the people are? Can transcendence become immanence? In other words, Hashem, Moshe says to Hashem, I know you are great. I know you are beyond the world. Does that mean that we can never relate to you in a close way? Is that what it means? Maybe. Maybe we can only relate to Hashem with this great awe, so to speak. Is Hashem too great for the world that he can never live in the world in a predictable, comprehensive way? He can only live in the world with miracles? So that's why Hashem answered him like this. He says, first of all, you can never understand my ways. I'll be gracious to him, I'm gracious. In other words, there's a part of me that Taka is much greater than the world. Taka that nobody will ever understand and that the world can't relate to. That's true. And that human mind is will never have and will never be able to understand. But and then Hashem says, you cannot see my face. No one can see me and live. Which means that the most you can see is my back. Which means even when Hashem intervenes in history, we only understand it retrospect. You know, we look retroact, like we look in the back. You know, we look, as we said, as the Chassam Sefer says, we can look back. You know, then we see Hashem's hand. But then the third part, which is the most important part. You can see my glory. What does that mean, my glory? He says, when Moshe Rabbeinu asked, he said he could never see Hashem's ways, he could never see his face, but you can see my glory. What is the glory? And this is a very important thing. The glory will come when my Shechina will rest amongst you. And that's what Hashem will promise him soon, that there will be a Mishkan. And the Mishkan will dwell amongst the Jewish people. Therefore, we will have an element of revelation which is tremendous. It's not knowing Hashem in his fullness, it is obviously it's not his face, but it's still a sense of closeness. And that's why Hashem, that's why this leads to the next part, that Hashem will, and that's why he says a beautiful thing. When we use the word, Hashem says, my Shechina will rest. What's the word Shechina? Shechina is like a shochein, a neighbor. They will feel me like a neighbor. The Jewish people will have a relationship with Hashem in a way of closeness. Not that we'll understand him, but we can feel him as close. And this is the tremendous uniqueness, Rabbi Sacks puts it so beautiful, of the Jewish relationship with Hashem, the Jewish religion in a sense, different to every other. He says like this, that our relationship, if you look into the Nevi'im and everything, they describe it either as a child and a parent, or as a husband and a wife, which is a very close relationship. And I just want to read you, it says such a beautiful, beautiful line here, he says, he says like this, this is one of the striking differences between the synagogues and the cathedrals of the Middle Ages. In a cathedral, you sense the vastness of Hashem and the smallness of humankind. But in the Altne Shul in Prague, or in the synagogues of the Ari and Rabbi Yosef Karo in Tzfas, you sense the closeness of Hashem and the potential greatness of humankind. Many nations worship Hashem, but Jews are the only people to count themselves as his close relatives. As you can see, so this is the distinctive paradoxical feature of Jewish spirituality. No religion has ever held Hashem higher, but none has ever felt him closer. And that is what Moshe sought and achieved in our Perek Lamed Gimel. The vastness of Hashem, the greatness of Hashem, the beyondness of Hashem, but still the closeness of Hashem. So just as we say, I know time is up, and just to, as we say, the beautiful thing that Chassidus always tells us, that when we do a mitzvah, and this is something so incredible, a simple mitzvah, just with action, giving tzedakah, whatever it may be, just with a physical object, the mitzvah comes from the language tzafsa v'chibur, that we connect to Hashem. The fact that us limited little physical finite beings have the ability to connect to this great, unlimited, infinite, I don't know what, you can't even say Hashem, right? Infinite, finite, whatever Hashem, is the greatest gift which Hashem gave. And this is what Hashem shows Moshe, the kesher shel tefillin, that knot, that we are connected. Even if we don't understand, and we definitely don't understand the ways of Hashem, and even if we don't understand Hashem's essence, and even if we might feel, and we know Hashem is way beyond, we still have that kesher. And we know what a knot is. A knot is a connection, which is a very tight connection. And that means you are bound together. You become one. You're intertwined. And this is the uniqueness and the gift which Hashem gave us and gives us constantly. And that's why we say during the month of Elul, when we are trying, what we are trying to do, and we'll see next week with Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, it's beautiful. We want Hashem's forgiveness and we want the relationship and to repair, but we want the closeness. And we should never forget that all we really want is to feel close to Hashem, and that Hashem is to realize that Hashem is truly close to us. And this is what Hashem promises, and this is what Hashem says to Moshe. Yes, I am close to you. There's always that knot of tefillin. There's always that connection. I'll finish here if you have any questions.